Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. After a beloved father passes, the family spends months grieving their loss, until one day not only the human, but the pets discover that maybe the man they so desperately miss has been with them all along. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the program, you want access to our advanced episodes, you want access to the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and get the bonus episodes every week, which now there's more than 400 of, check out ghostpodcast.com or go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
So, you know how I have talked in the past about, like, when I'm driving and I think my dad helps me not get in wrecks? It happened again.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Because it happened in the winter during bad weather, and I thought I was sliding off the road, and this wasn't near as dangerous. Mm-hmm. But because I wasn't on a highway going, you know, off the embankment.
Sure.
And then my car suddenly stops. But I was going down this road, and like I got into the right lane because the two cars or the car in front of the car in front of me was going to turn left. I saw that getting ready to happen. I'm like, I'm just going to get in the right lane, as one does. Then you don't have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I got up there, like, and I'm going 40 miles an hour because it's like a 40 mile an hour speed limit. And the car behind that car, just as I got up there, turned, like, decided she wanted to do the same thing.
Oh, God.
And I slammed on my brakes, and it was like I shut my eyes because I'm like, this, I'm hitting. And my car hits the curb. And then when, like, and I stopped and I opened my eyes, but I didn't hit her. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. It scared the crap out of me. And but I didn't hit her. I don't know how I didn't hit her.
And you don't know because you closed your eyes. Because
I closed my eyes. Because I thought I was going to hit her. I was bracing for impact. I'm like, this is, I even thought in my head, this is it. Like, I can't get out of this one.
Yeah.
And I did. So once again, hats off to my dad who does that for me.
Yes. No kidding.
And then today I'm getting gas and I found a penny right next to my foot. So there you go.
And a note saying,
Carol, that was me.
That was me. Gosh. Yeah.
That's... I tell you, I think, you know, like he's done that. I really do think it's my dad. And I really think he's done that several times for me. But how that happened, I don't know the other day. Cause like I went back cause I drive that way to work. I go back on that road the next day and you could see my tire marks.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was screeching. And so I left black marks on the road.
Yeah.
When I slammed on my brakes. Yeah. But I didn't hit her.
Wow.
I know.
Well, there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah. That is cool.
Everybody needs a dad like mine.
They do. That still right? haunts you and helps you with not hitting shit. That's, I like that.
Does not haunt me. Just helps me.
Yes. Well, it is haunting, but it's a helpful haunting.
And it's a total lovely sort of fatherly mm-hmm. thing to do.
Yeah. Helpful haunts.
Yeah. Yes, I like that.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Let's go to a letter. It says, hello, my name is Joey and I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. Give you a little background. My father was diagnosed with melanoma in September of 2012. He was able to fight the hardest for a while until the cancer spread throughout his body. Ended up passing in September of 2015. Not too long after he passed, odd things started to occur around the house. One afternoon, I was walking through the hallway in our house, heard a very familiar whistle coming from my dad's room, which was right behind me. My dad used to whistle all the time, especially when he was trying to get the attention of our dogs. After I heard the whistle, I got a little confused and thought to myself that I was just hearing things. I thought that up until my girlfriend at the time, who was living with me, heard the exact same whistle. She was in our laundry room when she heard it. Our laundry room is on the opposite side of the house, by the way. She asked me if I had heard the whistle. I told her that I had, in fact, heard it. She asked me if I had made the noise, and I told her no. That was my dad whistling at the dogs. She turned white as a ghost. A few days after that, I was getting out of the shower when I heard my dad call my name. I knew it couldn't be imagining it, being the event that occurred a few days before. My mother also heard him say her name the same day, too. Maybe he's reaching out to us, telling us he made it to the other side. We keep his urn in our formal room on an old family heirloom that's been passed down through the family. What's odd is I'll find my dog sitting, staring at the urn. I do this multiple times a week. My dad always loved dogs, especially Labrador Retrievers, which we do have. Fast forward to the summer of 2021, when one of buddies had come over to have dinner and have a band practice. He and I loved the paranormal. He had brought an SLS camera with him, and we decided to use it at my house just for fun, or so we thought. At about midnight, we turned off all the lights in the house, most electronic, so we wouldn't have any interference with the camera. We started in our living room and instantly saw a figure sitting on the couch. My dad used to have a recliner that he sat in all the time. The figure had appeared in the exact same spot where the recliner used to be. As we saw the figure, something inside me said to reach my hand out to the figure. Well, I did, and the figure reached back at me. I still have the video, pictures saved of both of these occurrences, and I'll include them with this story. I still do experience small things happening around the house, but not as much as before. Thank you for your amazing podcast, and I hope you and your family have an amazing new year. Thank you, Joey. Thoughts on all that?
Okay, did he send the attachment?
Maybe somewhere. I'll look. Okay. I'll look.
So the other weird thing about that is that we start these. I never know what stories I'm going to hear. We don't discuss it in advance. Mm-hmm. You never know. And when you go, hey, Carol, what I'm going to say. And so I had just got done sharing a story about my father.
Yep.
And how he still helps me. And then you go into a story about a guy losing his dad from melanoma. Well, mm-hmm. My dad also had melanoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And his melanoma, which he was being a total guy about. If you have a spot, have it looked at. I'm serious. Don't put it off. Mm-hmm. Because it can turn into lymphoma and other cancers, which is what happened to my dad, which just sounds like what happened to mm-hmm. that person's dad. So that kind of gave me all the feels. That was a really, I don't know. It was just kind of that confirming, like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
And that was really, really kind of made me a little emotional.
I do not have the attachment. I looked it up. I went to the original email and it's not, there's nothing attached.
Oh, we want the attachment. So. I mean, not that I really need to see it because I believe that your dad would be sitting in the recliner, like in the things that happen right off the bat. And, you know, and then you don't really get that experience much after that, mm-hmm. because I don't think, like, I always felt like my dad, like he's got nowhere to go. You know, if I don't know what happens when you die, but I've always felt like he'll wait it out. He'll be like, no, I'm good. Like, I'll go on when I know they're all okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to protect them anymore. And I've always felt that. Like, he died when I was 33. And so I've always felt that very strongly. And, but I also, like, I knew he would never go away. And so I just feel like when I need him, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I would like to think that person, you know, especially seeing a figure where his dad sat, that's kind of,
yeah,
like, hello.
Yeah.
Who else would it be? But I like to think that, you know, his dad or her dad will be there when he needs to be.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I do. Thank you for Thank you for sharing that.
Very
one.
Interesting.
855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to another letter. It says, enjoy the show. I'd have already become an EPP, but with grad school killing my wallet, I'm still a poor college student. But after December, I'll be able to afford it, or at least a donation. This is my second ghost story I've submitted, one of many encounters. I only value the ones that other people experienced. Also, I feel it adds credibility. Anyway, I was 13 at the time. My stepdad had just retired from the military early. We didn't have much money, so we had to move into an older shotgun home. We heard the occasional footsteps, sometimes growls. It seemed that these things were attracted to my family. Perhaps they were a magnet. Well, every once in a while, we'd all be awakened around 2 a.m. by the walls shaking. It felt as if something large had fallen onto the roof, but we dismissed it because one of our neighbors drove a commercial 16-wheeler and often returned home late. It continued to get louder over the years, but shit hit the fan one night when my uncle decided to spend the night. He slept in the living room, which was also the entrance to the house. My room faced the kitchen, and down the long hallway was my parents' bedroom. As usual, the wall shook at 2 a.m., but this time it felt as if something had crashed into the house. Lasted a good 2 minutes. Keep in mind, this is in the middle of the South, and we don't get many earthquakes. It was so violent that I jumped from my bed, only to watch my bedroom door fling open from the shaking, and without warning, I saw my stepdad darting from the kitchen, butt naked. I assumed that him and my mom were in the middle of something when the shaking happened, and it scared him. Again, this is a macho military guy. I learned that night that true terror wasn't ghosts, but rather a naked parent running around like a moron, yelling that the roof was going to cave in. I went back to sleep, enough terror for one night. The next morning, my uncle shared with us his encounter that night. He said that he awoke from a dream by a noise, only to find himself paralyzed. In the previous story, I'd written about how my family is plagued by shadow figures and sleep paralysis. This time was different. Instead of seeing the typical shadow figure, he saw the source of the disturbance. He said that a 4-foot-tall creature appeared in the middle of the room with a childlike demeanor. It twirled around and around, causing the house to shake. He described it as a short, chubby being with a large, distorted pit bull-like face, pointy ears, and barely visible, tiny limbs. I was into Pokemon at the time, and all I could think of was Gengar, a ghost character that feeds off people's nightmares and causes mischief. I'm warning if this cartoon video game character is based on a demon in Japanese lore. We'd have dismissed it if it hadn't been for the shaking walls. My stepdad also had an encounter with the same being one night when he fell asleep in the living room. He said he had awakened from a deep sleep when he sat up to exit the living room, and the creature darted from one side of the room and jumped into the shadow. Anyway, I wonder how many people have encountered these types of demons, beings, or whatever they may be. I don't think I could keep staying in a house after having just one of those experiences.
Oh my God, no. And like, so like how many people have experienced that? I wouldn't say a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's super common. Is it? I mean, probably not unheard of, but.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, there's a high percentage.
You hear more stories than I hear.
No, I mean, it's out there, but I mean, is it, you know, like all of this stuff, I don't think it's all very, you know, super common. We're probably talking like 1% of the population or less.
What? You think just 1% of the population has had a ghost experience?
No, I'm talking when we get down to specific ghost experiences. And we're talking about, yeah. I had an experience with a shadow person, or I had an experience with this type of thing or that. When you segment it down, it gets to that sort of level. I would say the population, I don't know, this is just my random throwing numbers out there. I would say at least almost 50% probably would have said that they've had an experience. And it probably would be a higher number if more people were open to saying that.
Yeah, and because I think a lot of people who maybe have experienced a shadow person or something, and they don't listen to shows like this, and they don't delve into it, they don't even know what they saw.
Exactly.
They just saw something.
It was something.
Yeah, and that shit, though, was creepy.
It was. It was very creepy. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling with some advice and a ghost story. One of your podcasts, you had been asking questions about, I think you were asking if parts from a car could be haunted if you, like if you borrowed car parts, used car parts to fix your car, maybe somebody in that car died, could they be haunted? So, it could be, but probably wouldn't be. But then again, every time investigators think they know what they're talking about, we get proved wrong. However, I did investigate a junkyard for the owner of the junkyard. He would tell us that he'd be rifling through, they'd get orders for used parts, and he'd go out and go get them. And he said he'd be under the hood, and he'd look up through the crack in the hood and see somebody sitting in the car, and he'd think, you know, what the heck? And he'd come out to go talk to the person, and there's nobody in the car. Or he'd be sitting in the car trying to take something from the inside, and he'd see somebody walking up in the rearview mirror. He's assuming it's a customer, so he wipes his hands off and gets out to talk to them, and there's nobody around. So we were at this junkyard, and we had about 6-7 people, and we were splitting up into groups of two. And I was walking by this one particular car, and all of a sudden, for no reason, and it's a cement floor area that I'm walking on, there's a very strong smell of, like, whiskey. And it's very strong, very in my face. You would have to hold a glass of it to my nose for me to smell it so strong. So I knew that was paranormal. But I did look all around and had somebody else check with me in the vehicles, around the vehicles. They couldn't pick up the smell of whiskey, but I couldn't stop smelling it. So we stopped to do an EVP session and asked several questions about, you know, is this your vehicle? Why do I smell whiskey? And a man answered and said, because I drink too much and it's bourbon. And I thought it was funny that he definitely didn't want me to think he would be the type of person to drink whiskey. He drank bourbon. So that car was purple. And later, the different investigators gathered together, and a different group had said, you know, we got some activity, some spikes. We heard a man's voice calling for us to don't lean on the car. And I asked them, was it purple? And they were, oh my gosh, yes, it was the purple car. I said, yeah, he's very protective of it. And so we don't know exactly what happened, but I would bet if you took parts from that car, he probably wouldn't be too excited about that. So I guess it's possible. Thanks for the show. Talk to you later.
Interesting one to kind of think about when it comes to, you know, someone's connection with an object and then the odds of it haunting something.
Well, when you think about it, a lot of people are really connected to a car. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be like the car they always wanted, or, you know, some people just collect cars. And then when you think the cars that have been in accidents and things that have happened to people.
Yeah.
And they still might be connected to that car. And so maybe there was a car or part of a car in that area where somebody had been drinking and driving. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I never really thought that much of it. But I remember, like, when I was a kid, if there was something, you know, like you needed a mirror or whatever for a car, half the time it was my dad. Like, I must go down to the junkyard. I can probably find it, you know, for cheap or something. And that's how you can still do that sort of thing, I believe, in most areas. And, you know, if you're going to install it yourself or whatever, take something off of a vehicle that's not damaged, but, you know, you could use. But that's the thing. You don't know what the story is on those vehicles where you're getting it from.
Right? It's like my neighborhood. It's kind of interesting. There's a whole bunch of gearheads that live in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're in different houses. And so they have, like, funny little, like they have these really kind of hot rods that they work on.
Yeah.
But then they will go house to house in golf carts and stuff, which is, or on like mini bikes.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. They're always working on cars.
Sure.
And so I could see that. Cause like, if you've got this 67, whatever,
yeah,
and you need a part for it, you have to go to the salvage yard to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to get it off a car that's been wrecked, you know, or some, I mean, you don't have to, I'm sure nowadays you can go to eBay, but you know, there's a reason that part's available, because the original car has probably been in an accident.
Exactly.
They pulled off the usable parts.
Yep.
So yeah, that's interesting. And I like how, when she said she smelled whiskey and then it was like, I drank bourbon, you know, making it very clear, not whiskey, it was bourbon.
Does it want to have that misunderstood, very, very specific on it? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Let's go over to, looks like John in North Carolina.
This is John from North Carolina. I hadn't called it in a while. I've been wanting to, just haven't had the time. But I'd noticed a bunch of former sailors calling in and telling their ghost stories from being in the Navy. And I have one myself, and I also have another short one that my grandfather had from World War II. Mine goes, I have two of them, actually. First one is, I was on watch one time, and I was in the propeller room where the propeller actually exits the ship. We didn't have power, and there was a hurricane coming. They had to tow us out, and it was an aircraft carrier, so propellers were within inches of the ground, and my job was to sit down there and make sure that they didn't drag the ground and get ripped out and start flooding. Well, down there all by myself, and there was one ladder way in, one ladder way out. Same lot of way, but I was down there for about 4 hours with nothing but emergency lights and myself and a sound-powered telephone. And during the duration of the time I was down there, I kept hearing feet run down the ladder and back up the ladder. And I'd look, and nobody was there. And it was kind of interesting more than anything, because if you've ever heard a metal ladder on a ship, I mean, it's pretty distinct. But that's the first one. The second one I have is in the burthen. That's where people sleep. Mine had 220 racks, and they were all full. And I just worked all day. I just got off of a watch, and I was looking to see if a buddy of mine was in his rack or not, because if not, I was going to try and find him, go grab a beer or something. And so I was walking to my locker so I could change, and I shot my head down the aisleway to see if he was in his rack or not. And when I looked at his rack, I saw what looked to be a bloody man hanging out with his head cocked backwards looking at me. And I took a double take, and it was gone. But it creeped me out. And eventually I ran into my buddy, and I didn't say nothing to him because I didn't want to freak him out or anything. I didn't want to look crazy either. But finally, I brought it up to him. I said, by the way, you know, you ever feel like you're not alone when you're asleep? And he got real serious, and he said, what'd you see? And I told him what I saw, and he said, man, I always feel like I'm being watched tonight. And the next morning, he actually had his rack switched out with somebody else because he was just creeped out. But those are my two stories. My grandfather's story, he's dead and gone, but apparently, one night, he woke up to what he thought was a dream, but his aunts had raised him because of the Great Depression, and the aunt and I'm about to mention, she had been dead for a long time, but he was out in the Pacific, and he woke up one night to his aunt saying, Sammy, come with me, and he was like, what are you talking about? And, I mean, he might have been dreaming, I don't know, but he followed her, and she pulled him up out of his burthen onto the main deck. And as soon as he got to the main deck, there was Japanese planes flying over his ship that shot up his barracks and killed everybody in it, except for him, because he followed his dead aunt out onto the deck. But just figured you guys might like those stories. Proud EPP. Encourage everybody to do it. Keep up the good work. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the program. Thoughts?
Wow, that last story was particularly, like, gave me the goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like that, but I could, you know, it's like, get out, and you follow the voice, or is it, you don't even think about it.
Sure.
Like, you would just go. But it's so interesting, like, nobody else's aunt came for them, you know? It's like, that would be the weirdest feeling, like, I was able to get out. That would be some, like, kind of almost that survivor's guilt that people go through.
Yeah.
Like, how did I, why was I saved? But then if, you know, you think about it generationally, all the people who wouldn't be here today had that not happened that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It's amazing when you really look at it, just the choices you make in life. And they may be very small or minuscule, you think, at the moment. But then if you play it back, and really, it's, I think, age and all this is really what kind of lets you see it, is like, wow, you know, had I not, you know, been here or there, or had I not taken this stupid little job over here, and then that affected this person that way, or that person met that person that way. And it's just sometimes just mundane little things that we do that end up, you know, crossing other, maybe other people cross their own paths with others. And then those things turn into relationships. Those turns into this or that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have several of those things in my life. Where I look back and I'm like, that's just so funny. Totally, like, not at all, you know, the intent half the time, where you couldn't even predict what anything, you know, would turn into. But I've had, you know, friends where it's like somebody met this way or that way, or even an ex that, you know, ended up marrying the boss that we had, that they seemed to hate each other at the time. And it's just like, but it's all like these little things that we all, you know, have in life that our actions do affect others. And sometimes you don't know just how, you know, small or big those impacts are going
to be.
Like
a ghost or a presence tell you to get out. Like that one time when I almost was in a car accident, I heard that voice say, speed up, when all I wanted to do was slam on my brakes.
Yeah.
And had I slammed on my brakes, the car next to me would have landed on me.
Yeah.
But instead I sped up and it didn't. So who was, well, we know who that was. We established that already. That was my dad.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, you could have just, like, that person could have just been like, I'm hearing things, that's crazy, that's not possible. Mm-hmm. But instead went with it. And that's, stories like that, I just think are so fascinating.
So many moving parts.
Right.
That you can't ever really, you know, quite get your grip on, going, well, because of this or that. Like, wait a second. Like, because it's just, I don't know. It's the universe doing its thing.
Because, like, my great-grandfather was in, or great-great, I don't remember. It was great-great something. Anyway, he was in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in 20 Civil War battles.
Wow.
20. And how am I here? Like, how did he not end up dead?
Yeah.
In one of those 20 battles. And he got out, went on, got married after he was done. Isn't it crazy?
I can't, like, imagine.
20. You know, and I actually went and did a little, you know, how I like history, but my niece and I went and did it around Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ended up leaving the, he fought for the North.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Union soldier. And at the Battle of Nashville, that's when he left. And so we went to the Battle of Franklin, which was right before then. And like 7,000 people were killed. It was like some insane number.
Oh my God.
I'm like, how did my grandfather not die?
Yeah.
You know? So we met with the guys at the museum and said, how did my grandfather not die? And they said, can you find out what infantry he was in? And so we called my sister, and she's actually knew.
Yeah.
She had the documents. And she's like, yeah. And so we went back and told them. And they were like, well, because your grandfather was a towards the back of the line. So when all these people, they were planning on all crossing the river, they didn't cross the river. They had to stop. And they ended up camping around this Carter house. Well, that's where the two sides met. And that's where the fight ended up. But my grandfather, there wasn't room for him. So he ended up somehow getting across the river and watched the battle.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So had he been in a different place in line that day, his 19th Civil War battle.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think of all the things that could have happened along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could I have been in here if he wasn't here?
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
It's just really interesting. I bet. And I would imagine there's stories like that with anyone's family.
And is it all random? Is it all just random? We're going to do this or that? You know, or, you know, is there some sort of, you know, plan that's in place and this is all going to happen whether we like it or not? And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it seems to be a fairly random mix of shit, you know?
To end up in a very perfect situation, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like life works out. Like you have this really incredible daughter, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Yeah.
All the things that have to be in play for her to have ever come into your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just very interesting. And like that family, how different would that family had been had he not listened to that voice, listened to that aunt, and gotten to safety?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.